Amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. Amen. That is so on point. We appreciate all of your input and responses for everyone. And indeed, it's all those things plus much more. And I believe we have to do a better job as the body of Christ of fulfilling that vision. We have to do a better job of that, where we're serving the voice. Watch this. We find it easy to serve those outside the church, but then those in the church we overlook. It's easy to see people on the street in need and give them $5 or $1. You know, some of us, we're going to drop a coin or two. But it's easy to do when you see a very apparent need in somebody's life, but that void extends far beyond than them having some money in their pocket or a meal in their stomach. That void could be the fact that they just need a friend, somebody to talk to. Amen. Yeah, you know, we form our cliques and we have people we talk to, but what about the one on the side all by themselves? Amen. I knew I wasn't going to get a better amen than that. That's okay. Jeremiah chapter number 18, amen. As we get into the word of God on tonight, as we get into the word, Jeremiah chapter number 18, Jeremiah chapter number 18, we begin in verse number 1. And while you're turning there, grab Ephesians as well, the book of Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 10. Jeremiah chapter number 18. Verse number 4, as well as Ephesians chapter number 2. When you have that scripture, can you say amen to me? Amen. If you're still looking, say praise the Lord. All right. We ain't got much time, so I'm going to go ahead and you praise the Lord. Amen. Jeremiah chapter number 18, verse number 1, is where we begin reading. Amen. Hallelujah. And the word of the Lord reads, it says, the Lord gave another message to Jeremiah. He said, to go to the potter shop and I will speak to you there. God gives an instruction to Jeremiah, go down to the potter's house and is there I will speak to you. I'm going to say it again. He gives him an instruction. And at the end of that instruction is the place where God said, I'll speak. Many times we don't hear from God because we don't obey the instruction of God. Many times we're waiting to hear the voice of God, but we're not in a position or a posture to hear from him. We allow outside sounds and voices to fill our ears to the capacity of which there's no room to hear from God. We allow so many things to populate our spirits. And the Bible says that we should guard our ear gate and our eye gate and even our mouth. We got to cover those areas. Why? Because if not, it leaves an entryway for things to fill our lives up so that we can't hear from God. Got to be careful what we listen to, what we watch. Got to be careful what we say. Careful who we talk to. Got to be careful. Because those conversations can fill us to a capacity to where we miss the voice of God. He tells Jeremiah, go down to the potter's shop and I will speak to you there. Can I tell you something else? God wants to speak to you. God wants to talk to you. Simple and plain. It's not that God is lacking in conversation. He just wants to speak to you for direction, clarity, and guidance. And the more he speaks to you, the more you become acquainted with his voice. To the point where you don't have to question or even wonder when God speaks. You know it's God. Many people ask the question, how do I know if it's God or if it's me? Or if it's the devil talking to me? Well, if you would talk to God more, then you would know the tone of his voice so that you won't have to question. Hannah had a son. His name was Samuel. She dedicated her son back to the Lord, and she gave him back to the priest. The priest was and prophet was named Eli, and one night Samuel was sleeping, and he heard, Samuel, Samuel, Samuel. And he arose out of his sleep and went to Eli and said, yes, master, you call me? Eli said, no, it wasn't me. Go back to sleep. He went and laid down, and then he heard it again, Samuel, Samuel, Samuel. He arose from his sleep and went to Eli and said, Eli, what's the deal, man? I'm trying to get my sleep on. I said, I ain't bothering you, man. It must be the Lord. Go back to sleep. If he asks again, just reply to him. Goes back to sleep and he realized, but watch, he couldn't recognize the voice of God. But here's another thing I want to say to you about that. It's just a side note, is that the voice of God sounded so much like the one who was instructing him. Good God Almighty. You know, God gives a voice for you to hear, and sometimes it may be the voice of a man. Hallelujah. The Bible says he'll give you pastors after his own heart. And sometimes you're going to hear a voice and it's going to sound like mine, but it's going to be God. That's the text. I mean, that's... So he says, go down to the potter's house and there I will speak to you. Go down to elevate so you can get a word. So I did, and he told me and found the potter working. I did as he told me and found the potter working at his will. Verse number 4. But the jar he was making did not turn out as he had hoped. So he crushed it into a lump of clay and again started over. Somebody shout, start me over. God wants to jumpstart you. God wants to jumpstart you. God wants to jumpstart you. I want to pause there for a second, and I want to pray, because tonight I want to teach you from the thought, fighting for my destiny. Father, we thank you tonight. Though we have stumbled over ourselves and our own decisions, though the enemy, Lord God, have thrown obstacles and barriers in our pathway, though, God, we are journeying to fulfill our destiny, we're so far from it, but yet so close. And every day it's a fight, Father. So tonight, give us the strength, the endurance, give us the courage, God. Give us the wherewithal, give us the wisdom, God. Give us, Lord God, everything that is needed and necessary, God, to get the thing that you have promised us, to get to the place that you have called us, God, that we will run, God, and not walk. We will, Lord God, we will not grow weary in well-doing, God. We will faint not, for in due season, God, we shall reap the great reward and make it to that place of destiny, purpose, and plan of which you have called us to, oh God. So Father, tonight, give us our fight back to God. Give us our fight back tonight, God. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, God, but we wrestle, God, against spiritual principalities, God, and wickedness in heavenly places, God. Give us our fight back, God. Teach our hands to do war on tonight, God. Let us not quit, Lord God. Let us not throw in the towel, Father. Even when time get hard, Father, even, Lord God, when we grow weary, God, re-strengthen us, God. They that wait upon the Lord, Lord God, our strength shall be renewed, oh God. Let us mount up on wings of eagles, God. Let us soar to higher heights and deeper depths in you, oh God. Give us our fight back tonight, God. In Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen. Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. God did not create you for destruction, nor to destroy things. He created you for good works. Somebody shout, I was created for good works. Yeah, he has created us for good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. In other words, God has a destiny for our life, but we got to fight for it. The children of Israel was given the promised land. That was their destiny. God gave them a destination, but they were destined to be there. But they had to fight for it. And so often in life, God gives us a promise, and when that promise don't come to pass, we stop fighting. Or when we face obstacles in our life, we don't stand up and fight. And tonight, I want to encourage us tonight to get your fight back. Get your fight back. I realized today that though I knew it, but I really realized today is that everybody is not going to agree with the plan and the purpose and the call and the destiny that God has for your life. And the moment that people turn their back on you, don't give up on the fight. If they're not in your corner, then be your own ring man, your own corner man. David said, I have to encourage myself at times. That when people give up on you, then you have to learn how to encourage yourself. Everybody won't be in your corner. And the children of Israel were given a place of promise, a place of destiny, but yet they had to fight for it. God left giants in the land. Every land that they went to, there was an obstacle or opposition. Everything that God promised them came with a fight. Good God Almighty. Everything that God is going to do in your life is going to come with opposition. Y'all quiet. It's not going to be easy. Tell your neighbor it's not going to be easy. But it's still possible. That's what you got to know. It's going to come with a fight. That relationship, that marriage, that business, whatever it is that you have, going back to school, it's going to be opposition. And God knows it. And sometimes God will redirect you or reroute you along the way to your destiny, but really it's for your purpose and for your good. Let me help you there. The children of Israel, as they were heading to their destiny, heading to the promised land, as they're exiting out of Egypt, watch. God tells this portion of text, he says that he reroutes them because there are giants in the land. And he says that if they see the giants, they'll grow faint in heart and turn and go back. Some of y'all are being rerouted right now. You're on a different journey, but the destination is still the same. God Almighty. I'm going to say that again. You're being rerouted, but the destiny is still the same. Matter of fact, there will be A and B routes, but the destiny is still the same. Have you ever flown before? Have you ever had a connecting flight? A layover? And sometimes if you fly those cheap airlines, they'll reroute you in a whole nother direction. You'll have to go north and they reroute you south, then east back to the north. But you're on a reroute, but the destination is still the same. Y'all missed it. They'll send you all the way around this way just to get to the place that you was trying to get. And sometimes God would do that in life. He would take you and he'll reroute you on another pathway. You know, if you're following your GPS and there's some road construction along the way and it sends you on a detour, it'll say rerouting. Recalibrating. It's not that the destination has changed, just the pathway to your destination changed. And you'll go through life and you'll come through some obstacles and you'll face some giants and God says, I need to recalculate you, recalibrate you, reroute you, redirect you because you don't have enough fight in you to face the... Y'all quiet. So I got to teach you the war along the way. I got to teach you to have enough faith in me. When you face this giant, you have enough courage and strength. You'll know what to do. That you'll bob and weave instead of weave and bobbing. Mike Tyson said this. He says, everybody come into the ring with a fight plan until they get hit. Then that plan go out the window. Mike said, we'll hit him, he will hit him, say, ouch. Yeah. And life will do that to you. Can I tell you something about life? Three things I want to tell you about life. One, you got to live life. you got to live life. Two, you got to love life. Three, you got to give life. You got to live life. Live life to the fullest. Live life like God has a call on your life. Live life like you know God. Live life like God has touched you. Live life like God has called you. Live life like God really does exist in your life. Live life. But then you got to love life. And I believe the biggest challenge we have in today's society, in this generation that we have, is that young people don't love life. And whatever you don't love, you don't have a respect for. If you don't love life, then you'll take life. If you don't have a love for a thing, then that thing can be easily destroyed or removed from your life. But something that you love, you'll fight for. Hey, God. Something that you love, have a love for, you'll make sacrifices for. But then you got to give life. Got to give life. You got to give the life that you've been given. He said, I've given you life and life more. So you got to share your abundance of life. The thing that God is giving you, the peace that he's giving you, you got to share that with somebody. The wisdom, the gospel, the grace, the favor, all of those things that God has blessed you with. He says, I've given it to you. Now I want you to share it with somebody else. You got to give life. Give life. Scripture says that you comfort others with the same comfort of which you have been comforted with. So when God shares comfort with you, then you have to share that comfort with someone else. Psalms number 139, verse number 14. Psalms number 139 and verse number 14. It reads, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Tell your neighbor, I'm fighting for my destiny. Fighting for my destiny. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, we know that oh so well. Verse number 11, it says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. One translation says, an expected end. That I know the plans that I have for you. I have already purposed and destined something for you. I know these things. I have hope for your future. And I hope to have you in this future and for you to come to an expected end. You were created for God's purpose. Why? Because he designed you. You were created for God's purpose. He designed you. On purpose, hear me, for a purpose. You have purpose in you. And God is waiting for your life to be fulfilled in that purpose. That's why you got to fight every day. Life is a fight. Life is a fight. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 says, no, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden, and that God destined for our glory before time began. Good God Almighty. He destined glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. Nobody knows. They don't have eyes to see the greatness on the inside of you. And the purpose and the destiny that God has for your life. No eyes have seen, nor ears have heard. Sometimes it's even a wonder to us that God would choose us to use us. It's a wonder that all the mess and the trials and tribulations that we have experienced in life, that it's a wonder to us at times that God would choose me. Come on now, let's be honest for a second. If you were the employer interviewing for candidates, would you hire yourself? I mean, for the position and the calling of which God had called you to, would you choose you? I'll be honest, you know, I would. That would be filed in file in the trash can. What they call that, file 63? 13? Yeah, that one. File 13. I walk in, I just say, I'm sorry, sir, but the position's filled. What file? 86? Take it off the screen. Amen. I'll be honest. But it's a wonder that God will choose us, but God knows us before we knew us. And because he knew us before we know ourselves, then God also knows, watch this, your end from the beginning. So before you count yourself out, before you disqualify yourself, before, watch this, you let somebody else disqualify you. Before we let them put us to the side and reject us, you better hear what God has to say about you. And what God has to say about you. He says that I knew you. I have a plan for your life. That nobody else knows this plan. They don't have the ears to hear nor the eyes to see. What I've planted on the inside of you. That's why you'll see so often that God will take somebody from the rear and push him to the front. He'll take a little sheep herder boy from the fields and the mountains who've been fighting lions, tigers, and bears, oh my, and he will promote him to the palace and place him in a position where he's now ruler over nations. Talking about King David. Now, who would have thought this little ruddy boy in the field watching sheep will one day be king? There's one who knew. God. His own father didn't even recognize it. Can I tell you something? Sometimes the people the closest to you don't recognize what God is doing in your life. The people closest to you can't see the anointing on your life. The people right there in front of you can't recognize what God is doing in your life. Curtis said this, he's right on point. Jesus couldn't perform miracles even in his own time. Couldn't see the greatness in him. Became so complacent and comfortable with who Jesus was, but they didn't know who he is. They reduced him to just a carpenter's son. And y'all got to help me. I got some theologians in the house tonight. And I've been wrestling with this thing, and I'm going to have to go back and read it again. But we say Jesus was a carpenter. He was a carpenter's son. I don't remember anywhere in the text where it says Jesus built a table, a chair, or a house. So we done gave him a whole occupation. I'm just saying, if I missed it in the text, somebody help me. But I ain't never see where it says that Jesus framed up a house. But he was the carpenter's son. Which made it even far worse, because here it is, they reduced him to a position where he didn't even have the ability, or I'm not going to say the ability, he didn't have the occupation, but they gave him the title for the occupation. And we do that today. We say, Jesus was a carpenter. You know, gave him an occupation, and that wasn't even him. So there we reduced the character and the ability of our God by putting something on him that he is not. God. And we do that with people. Hallelujah. We give them titles they don't deserve. put them in positions that they're not deserving of. Hallelujah. Somebody shout, I'm fighting for my destiny. Isaiah tells us this. It says, I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please, that I make known the end from the beginning, the Lord says. From ancient times, what is still to come, I say, watch this, my purpose will stand. My purpose will stand. That God created you for purpose, and no problem can turn that purpose around. Your past can't turn God's purpose around. Good God, y'all quiet right there. Remember, the route to your destiny may be different. Your route to your destiny may have alterations. There may be different paths to get to the place of which God has called you to, but it does not change the destiny nor the purpose or the plan of God. So before you count me out, you better make sure I'm counted out. y'all missed that. Because in a fight, y'all know I used to box, you know, the fight wasn't over until somebody got knocked out or counted out. The fight not over until 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. It's over with. So before you count me out, make sure I'm counted out. Because there's got to be a fight for your destiny. You can't quit and give up on the thing that God has called you to. Because God hadn't given up on you. Why should you give up on yourself? Hallelujah. God hadn't given up. Why should you? Okay. Watch this. Hear me when I say this. The fire wasn't meant to kill you. It was for forging you into something stronger. Let that sink into your spirit right there. The fire wasn't meant to kill you, but it was meant to forge you into something stronger. That the fight you're in now is there to teach you how to do war. That the struggle that you're facing right now is there to strengthen you. It's there to make you stronger. The adversary and the enemy that you're facing right now is really just a sparring partner. Good God Almighty. I felt the Holy Ghost right there. It's a sparring partner. Because as Satan comes around, ass liking a roaring lion. He's likened to a roaring lion. He is not a roaring lion. You know, when you're boxing, you have a sparring partner. He is not your opponent. He is your sparring partner. And that partner, as a sparring partner, is there to make sure that you're strengthened and equipped well enough to fight the fight that you're about to face. Good God Almighty. Matter of fact, in boxing, when they pick a sparring partner for you, they pick a partner that will be almost likened to your opponent. Same height, same weight. Same fighting style. So they'll make sure that you're well equipped to fight the real. So the enemy comes in your life as likened to a roaring lion. In other words, God says, I'm sending a sparring partner your direction. Hey, God. I'm trying to get you ready. I'm trying to get you ready for a fight. And the fire wasn't meant to kill you, but it was meant to forge you. It tells us in Isaiah chapter number 43, verse number 2, it says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Good God Almighty. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. And when you walk through the fire, there it is, you will not be burned. And the flames will not set you ablaze. Good God Almighty. That's the word of the Lord. That's the word of the Lord. Listen, your fight begins with a couple things. Your fight first begins with prayer. That is the training ground, the breeding ground of your preparation is prayer. The Bible says we know not what to pray for. So when you get in the spirit and you begin to pray, God begins to equip you in the spirit, tell you things that you knew not of, give you plans, strategies, give you wisdom and know-how. Prayer is simply gaining an audience with God so that you can hear the strategic plans of God. That's why Satan troubles you so greatly in prayer, puts you to sleep. You start off strong. God, we seek you, God. Talking about that's the peace of God. No, you sleeping. Wake your tail up. You sleeping. That's the truth of the matter. Hallelujah. That's why Satan fights so hard in prayer. That's why Satan don't want you to get to the house of prayer. Jesus said, this house shall be called the house of prayer. It's my Father's house. It's a house of prayer. That's why it's a travesty on times where the church called for prayer and the place is empty. No prayer, no power. Hello? I'm going to say it again. No prayer. And we weak Christians because we don't pray. Weak Christians because we don't pray. Yeah. Prayer strengthens you. Weak Christians because we don't pray. When we pray, we're strengthened. Prayer is like going to the gym. Paul said this, that we speak in the spirit so that we can edify, equip ourselves, build ourselves up. Dear God. So when you pray, prayer is you pressing weight in the spirit. The more you pray, the stronger you become. Dear God Almighty. The more you pray, the more power you have. Hallelujah. Satan ain't worried about Christians. He worried about praying Christians. Because when you pray, Satan can't enter into that realm of private time between you and God. That's that secret place. That's why Jesus admonished them when they pray, go into the secret place with the Father. For that the one that you talk to in private reward you openly. Go into that secret place. Why? Because in that secret place, there's no access for the enemy to come in. And prayer gains you an audience with God so you can get the ear of God. And God can begin to speak to you plans and strategies. And he can begin to speak to you purpose and destiny and all of those things. That's why you got to fight into prayer. First step, you got to pray. Got to pray. Got to pray. Next thing is you got to fight with preparation. You got to pray, but you got to prepare. Because when God speaks to you through prayer, then there has to be a preparation process. He'll give you the ingredients, but you got to prepare the ingredients. It's like baking a cake. You got all the ingredients, but you got to prepare them. You got to put them all together. And I think we miss this key so often in church and as believers is that we hear from God, but we don't prepare ourselves for the outcome. We don't get ready. We just sit back, well, God promised me this, and then we sit back and we wait for the promise. And there's no preparation for the promise. He got. Can I tell you, people want the promise, but they don't want the process it takes to get to the promise. We don't want to prepare for the promise. That's why it's a fight. for our destiny. Because though God promised a thing, we got to prepare ourselves for the thing that God promised. Are you hearing me tonight? Oh, we love Malachi, and God will open up a window and pour out a blessing. You ain't got no buckets to catch the blessing. He'll open it up and begin to pour out, and you ain't got nothing to catch it. Blessings raining down on you, and you can't catch none of them. Talking about I'm dancing in the rain. You ain't nothing but getting wet. Walking home with no blessings. That's because you didn't prepare yourself. The woman who had the cruse of oil, the prophet gave her clear instructions. God's going to bless you, but I need you to go out there and prepare for the blessing. Go and get as many vessels as possible. Go to every neighbor that you can and prepare yourself for this outpouring, this overflow of blessing. And as many as you get is as much as will pour out. Preparation. Preparation. I was talking to a business friend years ago, and he was starting, he had a contract with this with Exxon, and he was getting other contract with other companies, and he was just starting a business from scratch. And prior to him starting this business, we were talking. He was just kind of just laying out the vision of it all and all of these things. And he said, man, let me tell you, I'm in preparation for this business and the outpouring. He said, today I'm going to open 10 bank accounts. I said, why 10 bank accounts? He said, I'm preparing for the overflow. I said, but why 10? I mean, one won't do it. He said, no, because I'm believing God for $100,000 by the end of the week. And he said, insurance doesn't kick in until after $10,000. Y'all missed it. Y'all missed it. So I'm preparing myself for the overflow. So I'm going to open 10 accounts so I can put $10,000 each account so then I can have the account for each of the... Y'all quiet. He was preparing himself for the blessing. He just didn't talk about it. He prepared himself for it. I'm reminded of a story years ago. There was a drought in this small town in Texas, and the drought had went on for years. Y'all probably heard me tell the story again, but it's worth telling again. And the drought was so severe, it went on for years. So this little small town began to pile into the church, and they began to pray for rain. Can I tell you something? Problems will make you pray. If you don't know how to pray, just go through some problems. You're going to learn how to pray. And they began to pray fervently for rain. And every night they would pile themselves into the church, file into the church, and they began to pray for rain to come down in their town. And then one night as they're praying, this little girl, they heard the door swing open, creaking. And this little girl walks in. And then you could tell there was something going on because as she walked from the back of the church to the front of the church got real quiet and heads began to turn. And then all of a sudden you heard this murmur begin to build up through the church. I dare her. I can't believe she would. I can't believe she's mocking us like this. A little girl walks in with a yellow raincoat on, some red galoshes. She walks from the front, from the back of the church, to the front of the church. She sits down, and all of a sudden the murmur gets louder and louder. Then all of a sudden this lady walks up to the head deacon and said, why don't you do something about this little girl mocking us? She know we hadn't had rain in months. What's she doing with a raincoat on? And then the preacher got up and he said, shh, quiet, quiet. He said, you need to do something about it. Put her out. She's mocking us. He said, no, I won't. He said, because we've been praying for rain, but this young girl is prepared for rain. And here it is, the church, we praying for stuff, but we ain't prepared for stuff. We say God got a destiny for our life, but we ain't preparing for the destiny. We say God got a plan for our life, but where's the preparation for the plan? We say God got a blessing for us, but where's the preparation to receive the blessing? Y'all quiet. And we got to begin to prepare ourselves for the blessing. Hallelujah. God. The enemy thought he would destroy you. but it's only going to make you better. His job and his assignment is to kill, steal, and destroy. But every plan that the enemy has, God has another plan. He'll turn what Satan meant for evil, turn around for your good. You thought that layoff would take you out. You thought that sickness or disease would take you out. But it's just God preparing you for something greater. The next thing, the fight begins in patience. 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 And boy, that's a fight there. Come on, somebody. Good God Almighty. Oh, boy, that's a fight right there. Can I tell you something? Don't ever pray and ask God for patience. Because, boy, you're going to get tried real good on patience. Don't ever pray for patience unless you're ready to go through some stuff. But the fight begins in patience. And sometimes we have to take our eyes off the thing in order for the thing to do what it's supposed to do. Okay. Let me drill deep on that. You got to take your eyes off of it. You can't put a seed in the ground and watch the plant grow. You got to take your eyes off of it. The Bible talks about a foolish man who plants a seed and tomorrow goes out to expect a harvest. You can't put a seed in the ground today and go out tomorrow and expect a crop to pop up. So you got to take your eyes off of it. The thing that you're waiting to change in your life, the thing that you're waiting to manifest in your life, is better for you to just give it to God and turn away. Because if you're watching it, then watch this. If you're watching that, then you miss this that God is doing. You're watching one thing when God is doing 100 things right around you. Hallelujah. You got to be patient. Got to be patient. Got to be patient. And that's the biggest fight for the believer, is to be patient and to wait on God. Now watch. Patience is not us just sitting around doing nothing. Patience is not us just sitting around saying, well, I know God's going to do it. I just don't know when. So I'm just patiently waiting on the Lord. Patience is not sitting around doing nothing. Patience is an action that we take, that we're now equipping ourselves, preparing ourselves, getting ready for when God comes, we'll be ready for when he comes. Patience, watch this, is trust. I'm going to say that again. Patience is trust. Patience equate to trust. I can wait on someone patiently when I can trust them. Oh, God. I'm going deep on that one. I can wait on somebody who I can trust. If I don't trust them, I'm impatient. If you ever had somebody, watch this, you ever had your vehicle break down on you and you had to, bum a ride? And you have that one friend, they were gracious enough to pick you up, but they was always late. That's the one you call 500 times. I need you to pick me up at 3 o'clock. You calling them from 2:30 all the way on to 3 o'clock. Well, you left the house yet? You on your way yet? Why? Because you don't trust them to do what they say they're going to do. But if you know somebody who's very timely, somebody who's very proficient, and somebody who has, good planning and scheduling and all that, you ain't got to call them. You say, I need you to do, and then you just turn and walk away because you know it's going to be done. You'll patiently wait on somebody like that because you know it's going to happen when it's supposed to happen. Patience equals trust. Because if I trust you, I sit back and I can just sit back at ease and rest and be like, okay. Matter of fact, I won't get dressed for work. I got to be there at 3 o'clock. You know, I could get dressed like 3:45 because I know you're going to be on time to pick me up. You know, I could just leisurely just kind of, because I know you're going to be there. I can do some other stuff. I don't have to sit there and monitor you and wait on you and watch and anticipate. I know you're going to be where you say you're going to be. So when the Bible says that we wait on the Lord, it's simply saying that you trust God. God, I trust you. I don't know when you're going to show up, but I know you're going to show up. And I can just sit back and wait. But I'm ready when you show up. I've done everything I need to do because when you get here, it's time to go. I got myself ready. It was preparation. So while I'm waiting on the Lord, while I'm trusting him to do the thing that he said he would do, I'm already ready. So when it happens, I can go with him and I ain't got to wait. He ain't got to wait on me. Hallelujah. Oh, God. So patience, prayer, preparation, patience. Last thing is perseverance. 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 That you got to persevere. Got to persevere. Got to persevere. Or can I say it this way? You got to preserve strength for the fight. Yeah. Good God Almighty. I just heard that in my spirit. You got to preserve strength for the fight. That's what perseverance is that I keep something in the tank so I can keep on going. I got to keep something in me so I can keep on going. I got to have a reserve tank. So when I run out, I got something. I can just flip the switch and just keep on going. That's perseverance. Perseverance is that when you run empty, you got a spare tank that you can just poke. You can just keep on going. Because you're going to run empty. You're going to run empty. But when you persevere, you're saying, God, listen, when I get to my wit's end, you take me to the end. It's perseverance. Perseverance. Exodus chapter number 2, verse number 1 says, and there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. Good God Almighty. And when she could not longer hide him, she took him from an ark of bulrushes and dabbed it with the slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark along the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. What I want to tell you about the text is that your destiny is calling because you were created for purpose. What's happening in this text, because we're talking about fighting for your destiny, it's talking about Moses. Moses' mother had a child. There's a decree to kill every young male or every male born of a woman because the children of Israel were multiplying so rapidly. So rapidly. They were having kids. It seemed like rabbits. They were multiplying. Every time the Egyptians would look up, more Israelites was popping up. So Pharaoh said, we're going to kill all the male children. We're going to kill every male child that is born. Kill them right there on sight. Genocide. Right there on the spot. So Moses' mother, watch. She has this son. And as she has this son, she realized, she said, she looked at him and saw he was a goodly child. Can I say it this way? She saw that she had a child with purpose in it. So she hid purpose from problems. Hey, God. She hid purpose from problems. And as she's weaning the child, the child begins to cry out the more. And she realized that eventually that purpose would be found out and purpose would that people would come to destroy purpose. I'm talking to somebody tonight. Can I tell you something? Your purpose, your anointing will expose you. He began to cry. And the louder he cried, the more it worried his mother because he was being exposed. He could no longer be hidden. Your purpose will expose you. That's why you get on the job and they end up calling you to do great things. They promote you early, or you sit back and you say, I'm not going to do nothing. And say, hey, you, come here. Hey, why are they always picking on me? That's because your purpose will expose you. The moment you open your mouth, they'll be like, something different about that one. Come here. Your purpose will expose you. And you do everything you can to try to hide who you are. Got all kinds of giftings and talents, and you just sitting back, you know, watch this, I'm going to bring it to the church. Here it is. You got all kinds of stuff, but you was church hurt and all that. You get to the next church, and you sit down, and then all of a sudden, you're exposed. Your gift will expose you. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm going to leave that right there. Because you were created for purpose. Watch this. Your gift can't be hidden. When you're created for purpose, on purpose, by purpose, your gift can't be hidden. You can try to hide it all you want. You walk into the room, they automatically identify you. You go certain places, they call you, I'll pick you out the masses. Your gift can't be hidden. You know why? Because God has purpose in you. And in order for that purpose to be fulfilled, it has to be exposed. You have to be exposed. God has to call you out from the masses. He's got to. He's got to separate you. You be trying to hide, sit back, and, you know, just kind of just be, what's the word I'm looking for? Humble. That's false humility. Yeah, I'm just being humble. I don't want people to know I got all these gifts. That's false humility. Let your gift shine. Your gift will make room for you. If you're operating your gift. I'm going to say that again. Your gift will make room for you if you're operating your gift. It can't make room for you if it's hidden. And you're sitting around, nobody look. Show your gift. Shine. Can I tell you something? God, I don't mind you shining. As long as you give him the glory for the shine. Because the anointing that you have on your life is the anointing he gave you. And when you shine, it's really not you shining. It's just a reflection of him shining on you. But when you absorb the shine and you think the shine is mine and not his, then that's where God has a problem with. He don't mind you shining because that means you're just reflecting him to the world. It's just when you stand up there and say, look what I have done. Look at me. Come on, Satan. I will ascend to the heights of the Lord and ascend to his throne. Look at how beautiful I am. You beautiful because he made you beautiful. You make great music because he put great music in you. You preach well because he gave you the word to preach. You sing well because he put the gift in you to sing. God is not impressed with your gift. He is not moved by your gift because he gave the gift to you. So your gift can't be hidden. Your gift destined you for greatness. Your gift destines you for greatness. Your gift destines you for greatness. That when you use your gift, God gave you that gift because he wants you to be in greatness. Good God Almighty. I'm coming to a close real quick. Here it is. God gave Abraham three blessings. Now, I taught you on this before. Three things God blessed. God told Abraham that he was going to do in his life. Number one, he said, Abraham, I'm going to make your descendants as numerous. It's called the Abrahamic covenant or blessing. I'm going to make your descendants as numerous as the stars of the sky and the sands of the sea. And that your descendants would be a great nation and they're going to rule and reign and all of these things. And then God says the second thing, which is what I want to talk about now. God says, Abraham, I'm going to give you a great name. I'm going to give you a great name. In other words, God says, I want your name to shine. Now watch. Because in our modern day vernacular, we'll be saying, man, you know, God give me a great name, then, you know, da-da-da. But here it is. God says, I'm going to give you a great name. He tells Abraham, I'm going to give you a great name. Abraham's head could have swole up because his name is so great. So why would God give man a great name? Is it so that he can... man can glory in his name? No, here's the purpose. The Bible says that God has given his son a name that is above God. So if I give man a great name, good God Almighty, I feel the Holy Ghost. If I give man a great name, then my son's name become even greater. And the greater name you'll become, your name become, the greater his son's name is. In other words, the higher you lift him up, the higher he go. So God don't mind you having a great name. He wants you to have a great name because it pushes his son's name up even higher. God wants you to have big platforms you can stand on if he can trust you with the platform. Because he knows when you get on this platform, if he can trust you with the name, you're going to elevate his name, not yours. So he wants you to have a great name if he can trust you with the name. You see all athletes, they get these awards, they get on there, and you know, I want to thank my mother and my father. Forget God. And then some of them just routine, they just throw it out there because that's just the, you know, the thing that they do. I want to give honor to God, and then I want to thank my mama and my daddy. And that. What kind of glory God got out of that? Because they wasn't really in their heart truly about what they were saying, but, you know. But when you have a great name, God says it's okay. Can I say it this way? God don't mind you having the gold as long as you give him the glory. He don't mind you having the gold as long as you give him the glory. It all goes back to him. Glory belongs to him. He don't mind that. So watch your name. You're destined for greatness. God wants you to be destined for greatness. Can I say it this way? What could have been a barrier really is a blessing. God. What could have been a barrier could really be a blessing. A lot of times we look at obstacles in life and challenges that we have, and we look at the barrier and think it's a brick wall trying to keep us out, but maybe it's a barrier to trying to keep you in. You look at a closed door and you think that door is preventing you from going in, but really God is trying to keep you out. Because if you would have went in that door, good God Almighty, if you would have got on that job, if you would have married that man, or if you would have married that woman, if you would have invested in that business, if you would have bought that car, if you would have bought that house, God said no, and you're thinking, man, the door is closed. God said that barrier is not to keep you from going in. I'm trying to keep you from going out of your mind. Blessing. It's a blessing. Somebody shout, my barriers are blessings. Your destiny is calling you. Your destiny is calling you. And watch this. Sometimes God has to set a blaze to something just to get your attention. He's got to set a blaze to something in your life to get your attention. He got to set some stuff on fire because you wouldn't pay attention to him. Hallelujah. Talk to us, Moses. Moses is wandering through wilderness and stumbles upon a burning bush. God had to set something on fire to get his attention. Come on, talk to us, Lot. God had to burn up Sodom and Gomorrah just to get Lot's attention. Y'all quiet. Can I tell you something? Let's break something up right here. I mean, we're just talking. It's just us. Just family. It ain't got to go out this room. But I want to help us tonight, though. Why did God burn down Sodom and Gomorrah? Because of what? Because of sin? Because of what? The wickedness? Anybody else? Sin? What? Huh? Gee, God. One person got it. He ain't burned it down because of the sin. He burned it down because he couldn't find one righteous person. Oh, they were in sin. No, God. Abraham negotiated with God. God, if you could find one, would you burn it down? He started with 50. God, come on. It was like an auction. Baby, baby, can I get 50, God? Baby, can I get 40? Can I get 30? Can I get 10? He said, if you find one righteous, would you turn your mind? Would you change your mind? If you could just find one? Just one. If you could find one person, would you change your mind? Couldn't find one. So it was the judgment coming upon them for the sin, but because one person wasn't there, if he could have found one, can I tell you something? One righteous person can sanctify them whole. Just one. It's a marriage. If you can find one, God won't judge a city for the masses. He'll judge the city because of the one. Because if you got one person in a city of unrighteousness, that one person who is righteous can transform a whole city of unrighteous. God Almighty. The power of one. So we're just talking. We're just talking. Just helping out theology tonight. Oh, you know, they were homosexual. All that was happening, it was. But if God could have found one righteous person, you know what Lot's assignment, his destiny that God was calling him to, was to transform a city. Lot failed at his assignment. Failed at his assignment. All that he learned, faith walk from Abraham, all of that encounter that he had with Abraham, as Abraham encountered God, he sent off to that land. God sent him on assignment to transform a city, and he failed at his assignment. Can I tell you something tonight in my closing? Whatever you're comfortable with, eventually you'll conform with. Hello? And Lot became very comfortable with the people in Sodom and Gomorrah. So he started to conform. Y'all know how the text go. When they knocked on his door and say, bring the men out there. We want to sleep with them. Just take my daughters. Now what man in his right mind would give up his daughters to be raped by a city of men? A man who has conformed to the city. Hello? Whatever you are comfortable with, eventually you'll conform with. If you're used to being around people of no faith, eventually you'll conform to no faith. If you are comfortable with people lying around you, eventually you will conform to lying. Hello? Okay, let's go hood. Birds of a feather. Eventually, your feather's going to change. You're going to take on feathers like the same birds you flocking with. Hello? And Lot failed at his assignment when God called him to a purpose and a destiny of changing a city, but he missed his assignment. Can I say something to you tonight? Don't miss your calling. Don't miss your calling. The thing that God is calling you to, don't miss it. You got to fight for your destiny. You got to fight for your seat at the table. Hello? It's there. It's yours. And when I say fight, you don't have to push or step on anybody to get there, but you got to press your way. Paul said this, I press towards the mark of the higher calling. Watch, I want to break the guilt and the condemnation come on you when you miss the mark. God never told you to hit the mark. He said press towards the mark. He never said you was going to hit the mark. He just wants you to press towards the mark, that you got to make sure that you're pressing to get there. You're not going to hit it every time. You may miss. You may not even touch the target, but you got to be pressing. That's where perseverance come in, where you're fighting for your destiny. It's like, I may have missed it, but I'm still going at it. I tripped and I'm stumbling, but I'm getting back up again. You got to press. Don't miss your calling because you misstepped in life. Good God Almighty. You made a mistake. Can I say that again? You missed the take. God gave you an opportunity to take, and you missed. You had an opportunity to do something good, but you made a miss. You didn't take advantage of the opportunity God put before you. So now you're in take one. Take 12. Take 13. You ever been on a movie set? And when they make a mistake, they say, cut. Take 25. Rolling sound. Camera ready. Take 26. Roll them. Some of y'all on mistake. 45. Cut. But watch, as many mistakes you have, you still have a purpose in the destiny. You still got to complete the movie. You got to persevere. You got to keep going. Your destiny is calling. You don't stop because you tripped and you stumbled. You don't stop because you made a mistake. You keep going. You press towards the mark. You keep going, getting closer and closer to the mark. You don't let nothing drop you or stop you. You don't let nothing trip you up. And if it does, you get back up and keep running. I was watching this video, and it was a marathon, and these two women, they were coming close to the finish line. And as they were drawing near to the finish line, they grabbed one another's hand, and they were going to lift their hands as they crossed the finish line. But in their haste to celebrate, this king and woman was pressing. And as they got ready to cross the line, this king and woman beat them to the line. Now here it was, she could have given up. Because it would seem that the race was over. But they made a mistake. And she took advantage of their mistake. And her gifting kicked in. And she ran right past them to finish before them. What am I saying to you tonight? God's calling you. But don't let it be take number 25. Don't let it take all of that. You got to fight for your destiny. Prepare yourself. Get ready for the thing that God is calling you to. And the more you prepare yourself, the better you are equipped for the battle to come. You can't sit up eating bun buns every night when you got to fight tomorrow. You can't sit around watching soap operas all day when you got to get ready for a fight on tomorrow. You got to be in the gym working out. You got to be in the word reading. You got to be pressing into the presence of God. You got to put on the whole armor of God. You got to get ready and prepare yourself, because when the fight comes, you can't call time out. Time out, give me a second, I got to get ready. There is no timeouts in war. There is no timeouts in battle. When an enemy comes, you got to be equipped and ready and prepared for the fight.
Let me get a T.O.
Don't take your head off. You got to be ready to fight for your destiny. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. He created you for purpose, on purpose. Now you have to live out your purpose. Your life is not a dismal, mundane life. God is calling you to greatness. But you'll never experience if you sit back and do nothing about it. You got to live life, love life, and give life. You got to get ready. You got to get ready. The blessing that God has for you is there. He's already promised it to you. But you got to get ready to receive it. Christ died, but he's waiting for you to receive him. I'm going to say it again. Because salvation is a free gift. So you got to prepare yourself to receive it. You got to prepare yourself to receive it. If you don't get your hands out to get it, you never get it. I don't know about you, but I love opening presents around Christmas time and birthday. But in order to get the gift, you got to receive the gift. That means you got to be in preparation to receive it. You got to be in position to get it. I got a gift for you. Come pick it up. You got to prepare yourself to receive the gift. To the place God is calling you to, you got to have preparation to get there. And you got to be ready once you're there. Can you say amen to that? Can you bow your heads with me? Most gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you, God, that as we prepare ourselves for destiny and purpose, that, Father, you will give us the strength, God. Give us strength, God, to endure the battle. Give us strength, Lord God, and wisdom. Teach our hands to do war. Father, we submit ourselves unto you, Father. We render our members of our bodies unto you, God. Strengthen every limb, every ligament, every muscle, every vessel, God, every artery within our body. Give us the strength, God. Let the blood of Jesus flow through us. Give us supernatural strength, God, to do supernatural things. To do the thing, God, that we, even in our own selves, don't think is possible. Father, we thank you for your calling. Thank you for your purpose. We thank you for your plan. And Father, with that, we give you the glory for all that you shall do and all that you're doing in our lives. Father, our hearts are prepared to receive you the greater. Our hearts, Lord God, are postured, God, to receive you the greater. Now, Father, pour out upon us in abundance. In Jesus' mighty name, if you're here tonight, in the fight and the struggle that you've been in, has caused you to grow weary. You're ready to throw in the towel, ready to quit, ready to give up. That's you tonight. You're growing weary. I'll be honest tonight. I'm tired. I'm tired. I've been in this fight and this thing a long time, God. It's wearing on me, God. That's you tonight. Just lift your hand. I'm tired. I'm tired of going through the struggle. I've been fighting this thing. I've been fighting, God. I'm tired. That's you. Just lift your hand. I see you. I see you. I see you. I believe there's others tonight. I see you. It's been a struggle, God. I wake up every morning. I'm faced with trials and adversity. I'm faced with a lot of stuff, God. I'm tired. I'm ready to quit, God. That's you. Slip your hand in there. I see you. I see you. I see you. People are getting real honest with themselves. Getting real honest. Because it is tiring. Life can be very tiring. Well, there are others tonight that say, that's me. I've been fighting this fight a long time. I hadn't seen any headway. I hadn't seen any headway. I gain a little ground and lose ground. I get ahead and get knocked back. I'm tired. It's a fight. Anybody else? Because I want to encourage you with this tonight. You're fighting, but the fight is fixed. The fight is fixed. Satan has no power. He already lost. Fight fixed. Satan don't know we had a cheat sheet. We saw the end of the book. He already lost. Not only did he lose, but we won. We won in abundance. Not only are we conquerors, but we're more than conquerors. Tonight in the fight for your destiny, I want to encourage you, don't give up the fight. The wind of God, the breath of God is coming tonight to re-strengthen you, to revive you, to restore your souls. He's here tonight to rejuvenate you, to give you a jump start tonight. So tomorrow you'll be revived to get back in the fight. I pray tonight that your declaration would be, God, put me back in the game. Give me the ball, coach. I'm going to bring it home. Hallelujah. Would you stand to your feet on tonight? Father, I thank you, Lord, for the transparency, the openness, and the honesty of your people tonight. And Father, even though, oh God, they have gone through great trials and tragedies, many bouts, many defeats, many battles, God, scars and afflictions, wounds, God, they endured much, Father. But the more they endure, God, the more they'll receive. The more battles they fight, God, the more victories. Father, the more land that they fight for, the more land that they can acquire. So, Father, we bless you tonight. We thank you, God, that your purpose and your destiny and your plan shall be fulfilled in the lives of your people. And for that, God, we give you glory. For that, God, we give you praise. For that, God, we magnify your name. For that, God, we lift you up, that all men will be drawn unto you. We bless you now, Father. It's in Jesus' mighty name. Can you clap your hands and give God some praise on tonight? Hallelujah.